And then there were four.
Four!
Nah, dude, not that kind of four.
Four men, four minds, eight fists, and a heap of silliness. They've traded in the bedroom for a proper studio.
And as always, these gents will try and make sense of the world with their words. And if words fail them, there's always this.
Ben Edwards with a huge finish.
But let's hope it doesn't come down to that.
Thanks to the butcher shop, Kayleen. Please welcome your hosts of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, Scotty.
Yes, I died for 6 minutes. No, there wasn't a lie.
Masters.
Ben. In Soviet Russia, I punch you.
Edwards. Stephen.
Yes, my blood test is fine, baby, I promise.
Chaos. And Duke.
How good do my abs look?
Didier.
Season 3, episode 15, or all up 62 episodes about to play out of the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, thanks to the Butcher Shop in Kayleen. I'm Scotty Masters.
I'm the Gov.
I'm the Duke.
And I'm Mr. P.
I'm the rose between three bearded thorns or something this week. What's
the
going on,
rose,
boy?
Scotty.
The what prick between three bearded roses. There you go.
You're a boy between three men.
That's it. I was just saying to the boys, I tried once on the radio to do Movember because we were asked to do it.
Fluffy.
And I look like a Spanish pedophile.
El Mastero.
I cannot grow facial hair. I get stubble after about 6 hours and it stays like that for 3 months.
You still are a bit of a baby face too. Without a doubt. Be patchy and
some
fluffy.
People just have the baby face.
How many 45-year-olds have got a face like this, Benny?
Working
That's
indoors.
That's probably a good thing. Yeah, man.
That
working
looks like
indoors.
Working indoors.
What's your thoughts on the beard, boys? I got a lot of compliments.
Hey, like
you
it.
Boys walking look in. Yeah, I'm going to keep it going. I'm going to Duke Didier it up, get the stog, get the Benny Edwards Viking. It's working, eh?
And it's not too woggy. A lot of wogs try and cut out the under the chin too much.
Yeah, it's good. Yeah, it's good. Yeah, thank you.
You don't get it to the jaw. You have it just on the neck like you've got it.
How many beard rides have been given to Stevie?
that is let me smell your mustache. that's a designer stubble.
Designer stubble.
But he wants to push it to a beard. He wants to
get happy with that. You happy with the distance down?
Well, you've essentially what we'll do. I'm going to take a photo tonight.
For our Instagram
page. This would have been up on Instagram and Facebook during the week. So if you haven't seen it, it's essentially the four stages of beard growth. Me. Pios, yeah. Duke, Viking.
It is. King Henry VIII.
We got old Stephen Del Ragnos.
It's no coincidence Ben's never been knocked out cold.
That's right. You can't get through that beard.
You can't knock over a California oak.
I'll tell you what, though, for a lot of the kickboxing career, there was no beard, was there?
No,
I couldn't even grow until I was 26.
Yeah, right.
It was just.
I said that
fluffy.
Too. Remember, I just said you that did. When I walked in. You can't grow a pop. Well, I don't know.
I could
grow a pop until I was 27.
Yeah, Duke can be one of those guys who go on year six camp for a week and come back with looking like he's been at the pub all weekend.
It's ridiculous. I get this like
yours is thick.
Yeah,
as
it gets
shit.
Thick as like if I don't, I have to shave it every 2 weeks, and if I don't, it's ridiculous.
Yeah, really.
I have to maintain it.
Okay.
But it's nice.
Has it joined up to your chest hair yet?
No, look, I'm off the rails. You know what? Yeah.
So that's the thing too. I'm like Dr. Evil's cat. I'm hairless.
Yeah.
I've got no body hair at all.
I reckon Duke's beard looks like Rez's ass.
And hey, an honourable mention for Robbie Duros.
Yes.
For those that don't know, Rez is our hairy friend.
You know those two had the hairy ass off at St. Edmund's College year upon year, the hairy ass off. I think Rob finally got him towards the back end. He listens though, so we'll get him to clarify that come Thursday, Friday.
We need photo evidence.
We'll get that in there. But him and Reza had the hairy ass off for many years.
Bit of cream fixes all that.
There's a fair bit of ass here in Iran and Macedonia.
Macedonia.
I honestly don't know what's happened here. I'm sorry,
what a
listeners.
Great start. This podcast gets better and better every week, listeners.
Bring up some facial hair and we're talking about arse offs. Boys, we're after the last week giving ourselves an uppercut. You've come armed with a heap of them this week, so we'll get stuck into that.
I've got an uppercut, I tell you.
No, you don't, man. You got an arm bar.
I'm going to throw a punch too.
Yeah, nice.
No, you want to hurt him.
We want to do
some
damage.
I've got penetration too, don't worry.
Chaos has the bitch slap ready to go.
We'll get stuck into all that.
Comments on the tip of his tongue.
Oh,
he's loving
it. I'm just sitting there going, no, how many edits am I going to have to make in this episode? I reckon it's going to be a few.
Edwards.
Sorry. It's the first one, and it's always Edwards, isn't it? Greta Van Fleet or Led Zeppelin Light. I don't care what you want to call them. When I first heard them, I thought, yeah, just know what, it's Zeppelin. But the more and more I've listened to these guys and their album, they're bloody sensational. Three brothers, formed in 2012. 12 in Michigan. And like another Hansen. Guy on drums. Yeah, pretty much. But this is Cool Hansen is like what Hansen. This is. Yeah.
Where are Hansen from?
America, somewhere. I don't know.
Look like California kids, man.
Yeah, I'm not sure, Benny.
Sorry.
Look up on Google. Way to derail the podcast.
Well, I thought that's what Duke said, like hands. I thought it might have been three brothers, and they were from Michigan as well.
But these guys have pretty much proven that rock and roll is not dead. Check this out. When the curtain falls, Greta Van Fleet, yeah, they do sound like Led Zeppelin, but it's bloody cool. So we'll use this to get us underway on the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. It's episode 15, season 3, thanks to The Butcher Shop in Kaleen.
Was Greta Van Fleet when the curtain falls. This is the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast.
How good was that?
Scotty, Ben, Stevie P and Duke brought you to by the Butcher Shop in Kaleen where I was today. We'll talk about that later.
35 eggs,
now
five
it's time
a day.
For
Teacher's Pet.
And now it's time for Talking Takedowns with the man who has a tattoo of Bon Jovi on his left ass cheek.
Ladies and gentlemen,
please welcome Duke Didier.
All right, and your segment's essentially combining, so now it's also time for this.
He's put more people to sleep in the ring than you've had hot dinners. He's faced the biggest and meanest dudes on the planet.
Another dramatic finish here as Ben Edwards comes from behind. Wow!
So
So now it's time for Ben's Bifforama.
That's insane in the membrane.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Wow.
Welcome to
Talking Bifforama.
They're crossing the streams.
Oh, what's happening? It's
amongst other things.
Oh, things could go completely
puff
wrong here.
Marshmallow Man is going down.
Stay puffed.
That was stay quality, boys. I like this. Is going to be a ginormous segment, listeners. This is the Talking Biffa Take It Down Arama.
It's cream
you
puff.
Name it.
It's no, cream, stay puffed.
I thought it was a cream puff. Is that a porn category?
Cream puff, that's a food.
No, cream pie is a porn category.
Oh, you've wrecked our segment.
All right, all right.
I'm showing this segment of Mum and Dad.
Oh, man. This is brilliant.
What are we starting with?
Let's kick off on UFC 227. Me and Ben watch it together at Bleachers. Cool place.
Yeah.
Geez, we enjoyed
you
that.
Keep talking about this Bleachers. It's a great spot. Check it out.
That's my new spot.
Yeah, it's so good, man. Oh, yeah. We used to have a mate that worked there.
It's not funny, man.
You're fine.
Yeah, so UFC 227.
Yeah, I was going to say.
Okay. So when I came in, when the card was starting, it was absolutely awesome fight. Thiago Santos. I just had it here, notes in front of me. I've just lost it. Here we go. I had Thiago Santos, who's top 10 middleweight in the world, fighting newcomer to the UFC, Kevin Holland. Now, Kevin Holland was on the Contender Series and he won. The funny backstory is that he was talking so much crap on the Contender
during
Series.
During the fight?
During the fight. Yeah. And Dana White's gone, mate. Yeah, good, you won. I don't want you in the UFC.
Yeah, you're annoying.
You're annoying me.
Wow.
So, anyway, so Thiago Santos' original opponent pulled out. So
and he's a murderer.
Yeah, he was a beast. Anyway, so they've scoured all the Contender Series trying to find someone new, and they've all said no. All the guys that they'd actually signed all said no. And then Dana White's gone, what about Big Mouth? What about Kevin Holland?
Let's give Big Mouth a go. Yeah. And he took it straight away. And only on a few weeks' notice.
Yeah, you know? Only on 3 weeks' notice, and it was an absolute war. Like, Thiago Santos, top 10 in the world, but crack a fight, and they're going to give this Kevin Holland another shot. So feel good opening fight to start the card.
Yeah.
And then the girls went at it. JJ Aldrich beat Poliana Viana from Brazil. That was still not a bad little fight.
Yeah, they went for it.
Yeah, no, it was, anyway, Costa turned around, turned his back.
Costa turned his back. With us, and Duke and I were watching the chicks fight, and my missus tapped me on the shoulder and goes, oh, you can tell there's a chick fight on. We turn around. Costa's got his back towards the chicks, and he's watching a boxing fight on the other TV.
It's like the other side of the room. Crushing Coverland.
Like when those Americans don't stand for the national anthem, that was Costa. He turned his back when the females were on. Anyway, next fight, we all wondered why Cobb Swanson was paying $3 against Renato
Duke
Mosciano.
Bet the house.
I put the house on Cobb Swanson. Cobb Swanson got knocked down the first round.
How good is that? That other guy, that Brazilian.
Jeez, what's his sharp
name? Machado? Machado?
Renato Mochiano.
Renato Mochiano.
Jeez, he looks sharp anyway. 13-0, moves to 14-0.
That guy's a murderer, 13-0 now.
Yeah, he finished with a sub, did he? I thought he knocked him out.
Nah, re-naked, but it wasn't under the chin. It was just on the jaw, so it was more like a...
And it was from a...
You feel like a man, but he was... And Cub's a black belt again.
In jiu-jitsu.
Man, this dude's coming through the ranks thick and fast, man. He's awesome.
So that was awesome fight to watch. And then moving on to the co-main event... I picked it. Ben didn't. Demetrius Johnson versus Henry Cejudo. Yeah. Wait, when
that was a rematch too.
Yeah, it was a rematch.
They fought from 2 years ago.
Demetrius beat Cejudo with a knee to the ribs.
Round one. It was like it was
liver shot
over pretty quick.
Yeah,
it was awesome. Man.
And so that was an awesome. Everyone was expecting Olympic gold medalist wrestler to sort of provide a little bit more challenge to Demetrius Johnson, and he did this fight. It was absolutely
unreal. He got his hands right, put the pressure on, had Demetrius on the back foot for the first two rounds. The only other fighter Henry had lost to was Joseph Benavides, who's one of the top guys at that division as well.
Guy.
And DJ, coming off, he's had 11 title defenses on a 13-fight win streak. I've got some stats for you. When DJ won the title, Anderson Silva, John Jones, and GSP were still champions.
Wow.
There were no women fighting in the UFC, and Conor McGregor was going to be on welfare for another 12 months.
Wow. Yeah.
That's how long DJ has been kicking ass.
So that's pretty impressive.
Especially at his weight division, to be so dominant. He's 57 kilos.
Yeah.
To be that dominant when the smaller you are, you don't have the power, your skills have to be that much more than everyone else. It's phenomenal.
Yeah,
he'll always be in the mix for this era.
For the GOAT.
Yeah. Always in the conversation. Yeah.
And he didn't, and I mean, the fight, he didn't get outclassed, and then by any means, it was close. It was
awesome. Some of those scrambles were awesome.
I think he deserves an immediate rematch, in my opinion.
Mate, if he doesn't deserve an immediate rematch, who does? But I don't think they're going to give it to
him.
They
probably
won't. Reckon?
No,
because he doesn't move the needle, man. He doesn't make
Cejudo will, I think, will move the meter more because he's got that that Mexican market. Also, mate, Olympic gold medalist, 2008, and now he comes in as UFC champion. First guy to do it, I'm pretty sure.
And straight away calls out TJ in the weight division above, which is, that was one thing. DJ recently, some people did frown upon him. Like, you really want to be considered the GOAT? Go up and fight TJ.
Or let him come down. He wouldn't even let him come down.
Yeah, exactly. So it makes him look even worse. Mate, we discussed
defend this. We discussed it at Bleachers, but defend your house, you know? And then, you know, awesome co-main event leading into the main event, the grudge match between TJ Dillashaw and Cody Garbrandt.
Yeah, former teammates. Going into the fight, TJ had a 50% KO ratio, which for a bantamweight is pretty good. Cody had an 81% KO ratio for a bantamweight. The difference in knockout between these two guys and the division below them, it's crazy, man. These guys are legit knockout artists at 135 pounds.
High level, you know. They're just at this level where if one of them sinks, that's it.
Yeah, one mistake and you are sleeping.
And you could tell that they had just completely... What's Pale Stephen?
He's texting ladies
No, I'm not doing what Duke does, thank you. I'm just checking something from the UFC because I'm going to ask a very pertinent question in the moment. Ladies, you'll get your attention in a moment.
Well, anyway,
I'm not doing a DDA thing. Oh, you know, I have an important question coming up.
Shut up, Pale. Go back to your phone. Go back to your texting. You slut. But you could tell they've done their homework on this fight. I mean, the way that they were moving was completely different to the way they were moving in the first fight. These guys broke the opponents down to a T. It's a science what they're doing.
TJ said before... in the post-fight press conference before this last fight, they were going to look for the right hand against Cody because when Cody throws his right hand, he drops his left. And TJ threw three right... They're having an exchange, and TJ threw three right hands in a row, like without moving his feet, and the third one landed on the chin, which is what dropped him, which was the beginning of the end for Cody. And he got stopped on his feet in the first round. It's just a... Because Cody, he's pretty much just a massive puncher for his weight division. But TJ's got it all, man. He's so hard to read. No Bruce Lee,
and a lot
no
of mongrel between them too, isn't there?
A lot of aggro. TJ went up and gave it to his former teammates, his former coaches in the corner there.
I kind of like that a little bit.
Yeah, 100%.
Good, great.
Gave him a hug and whatever, but he's still like, you want to talk bad about me? Well, you know what? I outtrained you. I outperformed.
Twice.
There's no third match now.
And
no.
I don't begrudge someone for, you know, fighting. You can only make money for a shorter period of time.
Yeah, it's like any professional sport.
He did what was best for him, and obviously the results speak.
Got to look after yourself in the fight game. Yeah. Honestly, 100%, you know, you look after you because I tell you what, no one else really is.
If Duke comes to me one day and there's a guy who's better coach than me, whatever, and says, mate, I feel like this is best for my career. I've only got a few years left. Mate, no hard feelings at all, man. I wish you the best, mate. I don't understand why. I think the whole snake thing just stuck with TJ because of Connor. When he was the coach in the Ultimate Fighter House, Connor called that he was leaving it.
Snake in the grass.
Now he's got like scales on one of his logos and stuff.
A snake tattoo on his arm.
Yeah, I saw that.
That's pretty cool. Yeah,
you just got to own that shit.
But I mean, honestly, I remember I looked at Ben and I said before the fight, I said, this is going to be a knockout. And I put the money on TJ, knockout, boom, the money.
Cody's quite the gambler, haven't you, Duke?
I got the bug, hey.
Have a look at him,
20% of the time, he wins all the time.
Quite weekend, bit of clear thinking. Stop it.
Cody's in a really weird spot because he's 11-2 and his only two losses are both to TJ.
TJ, that's right.
Both in a row. So he was 9-0 coming
in. He's in the Cormier predicament, really.
With John Jones. He's the best guy not named TJ Dillashaw.
So my question was going to be, boys, is TJ's claims after the fight would come out and he goes, I'm one of the best ever at bantamweight. I want your opinions on that statement. Too early, in my opinion? What do you think?
A little bit early, but
he's got to beat Dominic Cruz.
But even that was like a razor close fight with Dominic Cruz. Dominic Cruz was sort of the pioneer for that style that TJ has.
Dominic Cruz is probably he's currently the best of all time in the bantamweight division.
He's the most dominant. And he was a real first person to have that neo style. Flow. You're not in a fixed stance. There's no left and right hand. Yeah. There's heaps of feints. He's so hard to read. And TJ's just taking it to the next level. But the very controversial decision with TJ and Dom, but Dom did win the fight.
Yep.
I reckon if he beats Dom in a rematch, clearly.
But I'm saying give him a rematch. I think that's the fight
That's what I was going to say. Because what's your opinions on Dominic Cruz as a whole? To me, he falls a little bit in that Mighty Mouse category of a great fighter who's always going to leave a bit of a legacy. But in terms of long term, though, Duke.
No, I liked watching him fight. Honestly.
You do?
I do. He had those wars with Faber.
There's a huge difference between how people look at the 135 pound division and the 120. 125. Like, yeah. There's a huge difference. That 10 pounds, 135 is heaps of knockouts.
That weight makes a difference.
But then I tell you what, that Mighty Mouse Cejudo fight was one of the best flyweight fights I've ever seen.
That is the best I've seen. Those wrestling scrambles and the pace of the fight was actually really good.
And you know what? I think Cejudo's going to bring a new sort of breath of fresh air to that division.
Well spoken, speaks two languages, Latino, Mexican background.
Gold medalist.
Yeah, Olympic gold medalist in wrestling, freestyle wrestling. Probably one of the harder gold medals to win. Yeah.
Dana's gone to bed a lot happier after the last weekend.
Yeah, that's
he?
Another reason they are not giving DJ a rematch because he didn't. Yeah. DJ's going to have to work his way back, and it's not fair, but it is a business. Mm. And they're trying to get the pay per views have been bombing lately, so they're trying to get back that $4 plus billion they spent.
I don't know. It was one of those pay per views where on paper it only had two real fights, but it was a good day of it.
Yeah, mate, it was awesome. Yeah. Man, especially that Thiago said, opening fight.
Ooh, chicken wings were good too.
That was a dilly. Your lineal black belt's been called out.
Yeah, my lineal black belt, my sensei, Daniel Kelly, got called out by Zach, Zach Cummings on Twitter. So Daniel's pretty much was sort of retired. Mm. And then
he really?
Yeah, well, he sort of was.
He's on the fence.
He was on the fence. Thinking about it. And then.
I hear voices in my head.
And then the fire's officially been lit.
Dan takes shit personally. I know that firsthand. He really gets upset.
Told you not to call Sasoli out, Ben. Oh. I told you not to call him out. And then Ben calls him out, and then he wonders why Daniel goes.
Why do I don't have a blue belt?
Oh, well, we all learn lessons, don't we? But so we'll see how that goes.
So they're looking for that December 2.
And hopefully. Daniel wants to go out on his terms in Australia, and I think he, as you know, he's an absolute pioneer and legend in combat sports in Australia. I think he deserves, you know, he did drop three fights, but he dropped three high-level fights.
Yeah, mate, he's fine. How many fights?
And one of those he won, let's be honest.
He won 100%.
Even a mug like me knew he won that fight.
I'll tell you, the whole crowd was screaming. We're New Zealand even. We're even in Australia. They're booing the crap out of that.
Yeah. Yeah, 100%. Mate. Yeah, he's a legend. He's got one knee. He's how old is he? He's 100 years
41.
Old.
Yeah. You're never going to get a grumpy belt,
old
dickhead.
41 year old.
You're not about him taking things personally.
Well, anyway, Daniel? I'll tell you now, his retirement hat's off and he's back in, man.
He's one of those guys, if you call him out, he's going to show up.
Yeah.
Retired or not. Someone will call him out when he's 50.
And he'll still
And he's going to wheel himself there with his one leg and he's going to hit someone with his crutch.
Oh, it's good. 100%. Looking forward to getting down there and training with them boys soon. It's always good fun training with Daniel. He's a good coach, good friend.
Now, speaking of UFC, and we were just saying, you know, Dana's obviously going to go to bed happier. Benny, you've got the audio, the big announcement that Dana made as well.
Yes. Have a listen.
We have one more thing we want to show you.
What happened between you and Artem Lobov, Khabib?
Nothing.
You know what it's like being a partner, team. You are in it together.
If one of us go to war, we all go to war.
Conor McGregor sees an incident between a buddy of his, Artem, getting into it with Khabib.
And now all hell is breaking loose.
You wanna fight? Come here and that's it. Just tell me where, why you need to come here.
We have to finish this. Let's go. I'm ready for this.
Tell him I'm coming!
Oh! Be careful what you ask for.
That's it! On the foot!
Wow! Nothing short of spectacular. The hype behind this contest is insane. It will be the biggest fight in history. He's a devastating striker. He is outstanding. Oh, he got tagged hard. Two destroyers. Two outstanding fighters.
This is the fight that everybody wants to see.
It will be massive.
Surprise! The king is back!
Sorry, John Morgan, I lied a little bit. They're not here, unfortunately. I know. But the fight is done. October, Las Vegas. It's on, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you for coming out today, LA. We'll get the weigh-ins going here soon.
It's on October 6th, T-Mobile Arena in Vegas. Possibly going to be the biggest fight in UFC history. Yeah. Conor versus Khabib. Khabib, the murderer Dagestani wrestler, 26-0, never been defeated, never been in trouble in a fight, taking on Connor. He's 21-3 with 18 knockouts. And the best thing about this is the styles, man. It's a striker versus a wrestler.
It's a story as old as time. Yeah, it's not 92.
Don't give away too much, because it's our listener question, if you haven't looked ahead, is all about this.
So we'll touch on that later.
It's a knockout guy versus a wrestler. Yeah. It's me versus Duke. Striker wins every time.
Yeah. That's why he's 26-0.
I can't wait. So obviously, have a listen. Oh, we already have listened to the audio. So the listener question.
Listeners, rewind a minute 30. Have another listen.
The listener questions are throwing me off. But yeah. And just finally, to finish, we're going to talk on a little bit of boxing news now, mate.
Dave Tussain, he's had
to retire. How old is he? 27. He's been diagnosed with the degenerative neurological disorder.
Yeah.
And it's time. I had a bit of a chat with him at the gym last week, and he said to me, he tried to do some like shadow boxing, and things just weren't working right. So after speaking to so many doctors over the last couple of months, he's called it a day, which is the right call.
Australian middleweight champion, fought on the undercard of Jeff Horn and Manny Pacquiao. That's something that can never be taken away.
He got put on the big stage and he delivered. It's one thing to get to the big stage; it's another thing to come through.
Been boxing for 14 years.
Yeah.
Started in Lismore with his dad. He's probably the most skilled boxer I've been in the ring with. Great guy to spar. Great guy. Just an absolute humble. Everyone talks about the humble Aussie champion. He's the epitome of that, man. Yeah. Just a hard working blue collar dude, man.
He went pro about what, 2.5 years ago, three years ago.
He's sponsored. It's been a while now. Oh, was it 13? Probably about four and a half, five years ago.
Full time pro is what I meant.
Full time pro. Yes, absolutely.
Full time pro about 3 years ago. That's what I meant.
I mean, with this all that happening, I think it's one thing. Instead of being sad about it, we should look back on his career and sort of, acknowledge just what an impact he had on the Canberra fight scene, and just exactly, he was an absolute killer. So, congratulations on an amazing career.
In my opinion, it was a bit early. I can't remember many guys who in their 13 pro fights have knocked over guys like Jordan Tai, Junior Talapau. He's beaten Gunnar Jackson.
He wasn't
Liam Hutchinson.
Give it to Steve Moxon.
Steve Moxon. What was the guy? Shane Mosley Jr. Unbelievable. Yeah. In 13 fights, he hardly had, he had a couple of knockovers, but apart from that, every fight got harder and harder for
him. Yeah. And he just rose to the occasion every time. Everyone always reflects on when someone retires and says what a great bloke they are. We actually all mean it this time. Yeah. He's been on the show. He's a legitimate great bloke as well. He's a bloody, for most of his career, he was a full-time sparky.
Mm.
He'd be up at bloody 4 a.m. in the gym and then go work all day and then train at night.
Yeah, his work ethic and his training was unbelievable.
He's done more in his short career than a lot of people combined. He should be very, very proud of himself. Yeah. And even though it's sad circumstances, he's retiring, he should look back with fond memories.
Yeah, and he's going to be a hell of a coach too. If that's what he decides to do, whatever he decides to do, as I wrote to him on social media, with his work ethic and everything he's got going for him. He's an absolute legend of a bloke. So happy retirement.
Well, when Caden Helmer's story came out, I think it was Friday night, I was sitting at home, saw it. I put it straight onto our Facebook page and just said on there, I went, mate, you're welcome on the podcast anytime, because he came in. That was back when we were in the bedroom at home. And just a really humble, nice guy. Yeah.
And that's who he is behind the scenes. Mm. Happy, stressed, not happy. You can never tell. He's just a great
I had a great time in Thailand with him. He just showed, he's that benchmark for fitness and conditioning. And
absolute machine.
And, an absolute professional.
Yeah, if he's feeling sick or whatever, he shows up every time.
Yeah, nice.
So I got a sore finger. I'll see you next week.
Is that it, fellas?
That's it, mate.
That's the fight scene.
What a segment.
Thanks to the Butcher Shop Kayleen. You've downloaded the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Benny, Steve and Duke. Don't ask us how it works, just be glad it does.
Went to the butcher shop today. I took the miso and she was slightly intimidated. Slightly intimidated by the manager, Phil. Phil, the manager.
Yep.
He manages.
He does.
But she was very impressed.
He has the look and feel of a manager.
She was very impressed by the meat. And then we went to the butcher shop.
Damn it. I was ready to go.
Do you know what?
We had a great time.
You sit there and roll your eyes at the top fives. That was terrible.
I got three laughs every week. You're really spraying poor old Masters, who writes his own damn jokes every week.
I got a top one.
And then you come up with your top 0.1 every week.
I'm a one-hitter quitter. At least I only put you guys through 5 seconds.
He'd written that down. I checked his notes.
God, how long you put it
through?
Check
him again, boys. But the best thing about today was they were slaughtering a pig just behind the counter.
No, they wouldn't have been slaughtering. ordering right it, Ben. There. It would have no. They would have been. They would have been what's called breaking up the body.
Mate, we heard the spine snap. It was awesome.
Yeah, but it was dead when it was squealing. There.
Yeah,
yeah, that's right.
But its glutes are activated.
Wasn't like, poor, wasn't like poor.
My missus goes, "Geez, that pig's glutes are activated." And I bet it tastes good too.
I tell you what, folks, if you want to get to the butcher shop, get there before Thursday because I'm going to get $700 worth of meat on Thursday for a hunting trip at Lightning Ridge this week, and about 11
Speaking
of us going
of pigs,
up there.
Mate, that old bacon rack's going in your car, isn't it?
Yeah, well, the guys went. Can
Maybe
you bring
they
the
were
meat?
Slaughtering the pig for you.
They might have been.
Just might have been. Chop
think,
it up to chuck on
I think
Scotty's
there's 11 you. Kilos of bacon in the order that I've got going up to Lightning Ridge. So that proves to you how good this stuff is. I've got cousins in Newcastle that have eaten it when they've been here. And they're going, can you please get all the meat for our whole trip from the butcher shop in Canberra?
There's so much stuff, but even like not even meat related. They've got like these massive pieces of ravioli. Well, I think it is.
No, they're the
pasta.
Beef. They're the beef Wellington.
It looks like ravioli.
Oh my god!
Nah, it's pasta with meat in it. It's a massive piece of ravioli. No, if you two ever went there,
no
you
such
know.
Thing as
Scotty's punch drunk.
No such thing as a massive piece of ravioli.
And look, I'm sending you a photo, man. And they got curry puffs and everything.
It is the butcher shop's beef Wellington.
They got curry puffs as well.
I fillet and caramelized onion wrapped in pasta. It's like a pillow,
which is a massive piece of ravioli.
You dumb bogan.
Who is this bloke?
You baby faced Aussie.
Back to Charmwood, mate.
No. Go to Kaylee
and
Canberra.
But they got filo pastry and everything, man.
Of course they do, Benny. It's awesome. They've got heaps of stuff there.
Don't get so angry about what they've got.
I'm passionate.
It's next to the basmati rice.
Whatever tickles your fancy.
Was there, he'd say, yeah, that's definitely some pasta.
Did he try to do an Italian then?
I think he did. I think he just tried to do Tony Soprano.
Joke.
Well, please, give me your accents, Duke.
Hey, mamma mia. Tell Pio sound.
Exactly, you're as good as mine.
Hello, everybody. Hey, everybody.
Hi, everybody.
It's me, your Pios.
It's time for the Pasta Planet.
Oh, folks, just go to the butcher shop, Kayleen Plaza. It is the best meat in Canberra. It'll be the best meat in Lightning Ridge this weekend. Hands down, go and get it down your neck.
Queen Vienna is famous for the Campeses, George Lazenby, Mark Webber, and it's where this podcast is recorded. Well, 3 out of 4 ain't bad, I guess. It's the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Benny, Steve and Duke.
Folks, when we get together to record this podcast, it generally starts with a bit of chit-chat before we turn the mics on, and it generally goes like this. Number one, Duke complains that he had a huge weekend. He couldn't find his car to get to work on Monday, and he's really tired. Number two,
oh, is that all? Come on.
With Stevie, it goes two ways. He starts talking about sport or who he got up to on the weekend. Benny, he comes in, he just saunters in, says something about being Canberra's favourite fighting son, then proceeds to whinge
allegedly
about the way I placed his chair so that we can all see each other and make eye contact during the podcast.
I'm all about eye contact.
I don't like my chair here, I'm going to turn it this way.
He's a brat.
Yeah, he is. Pretty much every week starts off like that though, but it could be worse, boys. We could be farmers out in the west of the state at the moment. Those poor buggers are facing the worst of it right now.
Oh, they're getting $6,000, that'll help.
Yeah, $6,000 means tested now and then $6,000. Malcolm Turnbull... kid. Anyway, we'll get to that. It's time for this.
And now, it's another Give Yourself an Uppercut. Top 5.
It's the top 5 sounds. It's going to be a tough week.
I've got the top 1 sign. It's going to be a tough 10 minutes in front of me because it's your top 5.
10 minutes.
Hey, that's 2 jokes now, bud.
2 of those. Yes! 2 of those.
2 for 1 special.
3 more and I've caught up to your 62
two
top 5.
Open book.
Coming in at number 5, you put your contacts in the same eye. You, Edwards.
Monocle. That's four, good. That's your monocle.
You put your bra on backwards and it fits better.
No. That's relatable.
This one relates to what we spoke about in the intro here. Number 3, good. First name Malcolm, last name Turnbull. Seriously.
I thought we weren't going political on this show. But we are.
No, yeah, you've got to. When what's going on now? Although the alternative's just as shit, really. Let's be honest.
That's why he's going to win, sadly. That's why Turnbull will win, because everything's going smooth.
Turnbull
enough.
Won't win.
Yes, he will.
The Libs are on a hiding, mate, if they keep this shit up.
You're joking, Scott.
No, I reckon they're gone.
All right,
anyway,
we'll have a side wager from the butcher
shop.
That's
too political for us. Yeah, all right.
We'll have a beef Wellington.
We'll have a large piece ravioli. Of ravioli.
We also have a ravioli.
You got that?
And Scotty can have a beef Wellington.
Oh, dear. Number 2, you drive an Uber and you have to pick up Steve Payos after midnight from Kokomo's.
That's funny because that's where he resides.
I'm not laughing.
And number 1, there is the drum roll. In the top 5 signs, it's going to be a tough week. You wake up to discover that your waterbed broke, then you realise you don't have a waterbed.
How does Duke not get in that That's number relatable. Two? Oh. He's Canberra's biggest fighting disgrace as well as Suns. How on earth am I getting stung with that, bastards?
If anyone saw, my weekend was pretty tame. I went to the dog park with my grandma, had some red wine, some cheese, some olives.
Really, really
no
special.
Grub behaviour, chaos.
Actually, I'll give you credit. One out of 52 ain't bad.
I'm back, baby.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. Thanks to The Butcher Shop, Kayleen. And now, with the Macedonian love god, it's time for the vast planet
of athletic endeavour.
Australia won the toss and they're going to bowl.
Scoring brilliant goals.
Nice hole in one. Tour.
Take it away, Stevie.
Thanks very much, boys. What a cracking podcast this has been so far. Great laughs all around. I've got that much to talk about, so I'll try and condense it into a couple of shorter topics so we don't go on for too long. I wanted to start with rugby league, but not on the conventional stuff in terms of the results. Matt Checken, boys, how about this one?
He used to referee me.
One of the best referees ran out for his 300th game yesterday, Penrith versus Canberra. What a ripper that was on a pretty super Sunday of NRL. Jesus. But, boys, what's happened is it's come out that after the World Cup semi-final last year, England versus Tonga. He was basically given death threats, filed with all sorts of abuse, had to get AFP escort when he got back into Australia, back to his house. His house was under watch.
Where was the game?
Referee, I think it was in New Zealand, actually.
Yeah.
It was at Eden Park, I think, was where the that match was. But overall, though, he got back from that game and was absolutely under
was
all sorts of
trouble.
Was
there some bad calls or he did all right?
No, there was a controversial call in the game which was later proven to be correct. So he actually made the right decision.
You think people just jumping
that
on
was the game. Remember when Tonga came back from 150-0 down, remember? And they almost won the game in the very last minute. But Fifita had a disallowed try.
That's right.
In the very last minute. Right. So in the end it was proved as a right. But the big issue is here though, boys, is that the social trolls, and that's what he basically said, the people that have come out and abused him from there have effectively caused him to quit the game. He's one of the best referees in the game. He's quitting. That's the story behind it. He's quitting. He's decided that for the sake of his own health, mental health, he's going to see some counsellors now, two times a week to sort of get past it. But he had to get home though and get AFP escorted back to his house. His house
that's
was
rubbish.
Under
he didn't even do anything wrong. Didn't even make a call.
In the end, the decision was right. And this is a referee and they've been under huge scrutiny. So, mate, what do you think about this, boys?
Do you think people are just piling on because of all the press about how bad the NRL referees are?
This was last year.
But what about Ricky Stewart's come out and said, supporting the referees? I go, mate, if you're part of the reason. You hacking me.
He's had many sprays. That's right.
Coaches are at the coalface in the game, right? So if they get what they perceive to be a bad call, I don't mind a coach being able to give it to a ref. They're the ones who cop
the brunt, Benny, of the bad decision in the end of having to justify their position.
Players and coaches, I don't mind that if they have a well-timed spray, that's fine. But something I read on the weekend, and I don't know, if it could be proven, but there were always bad calls from refs back in the day and stuff, but nothing like we see now. And someone equated it to the fact the amount of money people can bet on sports games now. And like every single game, there's 19 million different betting agencies you can bet on games with.
And there'd be more than 19 million bets, Scotty.
If in your eyes you lose your money because a ref made a call you didn't agree with, you're going to be angry.
Yes.
Whereas back in the day, all you could bet on was footy tab.
Yes, that's correct. And you want to multiply that with the combustible situation of having the results of the sporting agencies around that. But what I was going to say was is that you combine that with social media and all the faceless trolls that are out there. Mm. Like I said, I go out there and troll people with my full name and full everything on there.
Yeah. I get trolled here every week by Ben Edwards. He's only sitting two feet away from me.
It's gentle banter.
There's respect there, brother.
So overall,
the respectful asshole.
Full-time face-to-face respect, prick. But that was a really sad one because again it was another great round of NRL. The Raiders proved themselves that they are just the headline that keeps on giving. Talking to Caden Helmers, we're having a great laugh last night. I go, mate, you just need to insert a template at the moment. Insert opposition, insert storyline, because the Raiders are just a sad
20
state
minutes
at the moment
and they implode at the end. Seems to be what happens.
And I was at a luncheon on Friday with a few Raiders and Bill Harrigan was there too, talking about the top pub. It was a great day out. But the Raiders are leading the comp when it comes to first 60 minutes of the game. I think they're top of the competition in terms of wins and what they would have won. So that was a real shame. And the other big news that will come out when everyone listens to it on Thursday, it's only happened a few hours ago, but Griffin, the Penrith coach,
sacked.
Unbelievable.
4 weeks out from the
finals.
4 weeks
out from the finals, fifth place. They've had a couple
that's
of come
from
behind.
That's not good for morale, is it?
No, I don't think
so. That's the Gould factor.
What did he do, Scotty?
It is the Gould factor.
It is the Gould factor.
Where are they on the ladder?
Fifth. fifth. Oh, they're going pretty well. They've had two really...
What did he do?
I think he pissed off God.
I mean, Gould.
Yeah. Grab his Mrs. Bum or something.
Really?
I don't know.
Phil Gould.
Allegedly. Allegedly.
I don't know if I'm more shocked by that or Phil Gould's got a Mrs.
Yeah.
We are on fire here.
Yeah. But that was a big one because the same thing happened to Ivan Cleary as well at Penrith. The same sort of thing. It's obviously a personality fallout as well. I'm not sure where the players are sitting in this as well.
Let's be honest,
Phil Gould was a bloody sensational coach. The most winning coach in New South Wales history.
Premiership winner.
Yeah, all that sort of stuff. So having him as the director of football and being the coach, it'd be like Taylor Hawkins in the Foo Fighters. He's the drummer. Imagine being the drummer for Dave Grohl, the best drummer of bloody all time.
That's right.
Same sort of deal. You know Phil Gould's shadow's going to be over you the whole time. And you're going, shit, if I put one foot wrong or one of the players don't like me and they talk to Phil, I'm stuffed.
And it's always going to be an issue, isn't it, when you look at that? So that was a real sad one, though, the whole Matt Checkin situation, because we're losing one of the better referees that the game's got at a time when they're actually struggling in terms of their referees. Super Rugby final over the weekend, boys. As predicted, the Crusaders far too strong for the Lions. There were glimmers from the South Africans that they could actually get the job done, especially in the second half. There was a point where they had a penalty goal to get it back to within seven, but just could not get there. I think it was a miss. Yankees missed it. And then from there, the Crusaders, who were also down a man, just absolutely steamrolled over the top of the Lions, won by about 20 in the end. Super Rugby champions, blokes like Kieran Reid, they're so decorated in the game of rugby.
Yeah, we touched on it last week, the real dynasty that Crusaders.
And the sad thing is that Crusaders team would almost beat the Wallabies, that's how good they are. They're a dynasty of a team, of a club.
Mate, we could beat the Wallabies.
Yeah, the way, that's it.
No, we couldn't, guys. Hold on, everyone. It's still our national pride.
It's okay to make outlandish statements about the Wallabies.
Allegedly.
Allegedly.
Duke's dad is so ashamed about the state of rugby union. He's temporarily moved to Russia.
Yeah, he's in Russia. He's starting a rugby program over in Russia. A
rugby program in Dagestan.
Systematically doping, imagine.
With the help of Khabib. Yeah. That'd be good. So tension turns to the Bledisloe, though, boys. I will talk more about that next week. But the first game is coming up on August the 18th at home. The old it's coming home talk has happened again. We're going to get back up. I think we're no chance again this year.
New Zealand coaches come out and say that we're the favourites.
Exactly.
Mental games?
Some of the great mind games I've ever seen. That is absolutely brilliant from Steve Hansen. Yeah, no worries, mate. Oh, yeah, you're the favourites to win this Bledisloe.
It's the All Blacks.
It's not even the All Blacks we're talking about, the most winningest team in the history of world sport. I think they've won like 87%, Duke, or 86% of the history of their games.
Yeah. I don't know the stats, but I know them what the feeling they're when you keep losing.
No team has even come close. Yeah, that's going to be rugby season, the big Tri-Nations, well, what is it now? The International Rugby Championship beginning in a couple of weeks' time. Switching codes over to the cricket in England. Fantastic game of Test cricket, India and England over the weekend over there. England winning a Test that they probably should have lost, to be honest. India were chasing 190 in the last innings to win on the back of Virat Kohli. Brilliant 150. He had some questions to answer. This is an Indian batsman for Ben's information. He's looking quite intrigued, actually, which is good.
I'll pay attention, man. He's paying just attention. Like looking
You're
at
not talking
muscles.
About soccer.
Yeah, what's Duke doing again? Texting who? Thank you. That's
all looking right. At the muscle.
Duke's like, God, I'm looking good.
Ben's 140 today, boys. I'm back, baby. So Virat Kohli had some questions to answer about his record away from home to be considered in that upper echelon of Test batsmen. Mm-hmm. He's got a great record, averages well over 50, over 20 Test centuries already. He's on his way to becoming one of the greats. And he proved it with a big 150 in the first innings of that to keep India in the Test match. Then Ishant Sharma and Ravi Chandra and Ashwin ripped through England in the second innings. So set them 190 to win. They probably should have got there, to be honest, but some good seam bowling from Sam Curran ended up getting England home. And then Ben Stokes, the man who only just got back in the England team after assaulting someone in the street.
Again.
Yeah, that's it. Back, took some late wickets to actually clean that up there. So great game of Test cricket though. Test cricket is a sport that I really love and really enjoy watching. Doesn't matter who it is. And that was a fantastic game of cricket there at Edgbaston in Birmingham. So second Test coming up this week. They've condensed a 5-match series into a 5-week period. Starting a Test series in August in England is quite late, as Scotty would know. You normally get an Ashes that starts in June, July, sort of mid-June, or even July.
Yep.
So it's a late start, but look, looking forward to the next test in that. It's a quick one in the world of golf. Very sad news. Australian Jarrod Lyle has announced that he's not going to continue his cancer treatment anymore. Been suffering from a brain tumor and brain cancer for a long time. Announced that he's going to move into palliative care now. And there's not too long to go, is my understanding. So very,
and he met
very
Robert Allenby when he was a young kid with cancer.
Yeah.
And said that Allenby was his hero. And Allenby came out during the week and went, this kid was mine. And then he went on to become a great golfer himself.
Exactly right.
Yeah, it's a sad, sad story.
It was a very sad story. So you had the World Golf, the Bridgestone Invitational, the World Golf Championship in Ohio over the weekend. And it was Justin Thomas who won that. So Justin Thomas, one of the better golfers. You're right there, boys.
Duke just fell asleep on his microphone.
I had like a fresh weekend as well. Like,
I wish I had a photo of that. Duke just had a micro sleep with his eye on the microphone.
Golf chat. Yeah,
that's what we need. You need the micro camera for that. That was fantastic. So Justin Thomas, what a win! So he dedicated his victory at the World Golf Championship. That's one of the bigger ones, the Bridgestone Invitational, one of the bigger World Golf Championship events, the second tier PGA Tour events after the major. So he dedicated that to Jarrod Lyle, which was a fantastic thing to see. So very, very sad. I just wanted to finish off, boys, with a big signing in the A-League. The Australian A-League doesn't kick off until midway through October, but they've signed the Japanese international Keisuke Honda, who is a big, big signing. So he looks
like a smooth operator, right?
He does, yeah. He's a very smooth twin turbo operator.
Keisuke Honda.
I like his black hair.
Blonde hair.
Blonde hair.
He's famous for...
Famous Asians always have blonde hair, mate.
He's famous for having an actual bleached blonde hair. That is good from you, Edwards. I was waiting for you to say blonde. I was going to give you all the credit you deserve.
How can I?
Back you go in that box, my friend.
Stereotypical.
That was brilliant. Well done, Ben.
Racist Ben.
Racist Benny's back. So, Keisuke Honda signing for the Melbourne Victory 2 months away. That'll be a big signing. The league, everyone come out in the A-League saying this is a great signing for the league. We're so excited. It's the best is yet to come. Bullshit. The league has been struggling for years in terms of the big name signings, going back to the years where we had Dwight York, Alessandro Del Piero, some of the greats of all time, and now we're in a position where, you know, Torres was linked, Iniesta was linked, guys like that, but they ended up in Japan where the money is just massive. So to get Honda is a big coup, but they need more and more signings like this to actually
Usain Bolt.
Usain Bolt, exactly. Who is a chance
if they get Suzuki? That'll be sensational.
Oh, can you keep, mate, Datsun's a chance too. So.
I said Scotty Datsun. Not familiar with it.
What's the money like in Japan compared to here?
Much better, Benny. You can earn $1 million a season over there. Whereas, and what I mean by that is you can earn that in Australia, but there's only
can lose 20 grand in 6 weeks too, can't you, Duke?
There's only a set number of marquee spots.
In Japan.
Oh!
He did have a sleep
in 6 days.
Sorry, listeners, he was asleep again.
I get that joke.
But Benny, you could earn $1 million a season over there, and you could have multiple players in a team. In Australia, there's only set marquee slots for certain players to earn that type of money. So it is a big signing for the league, but how big that actually moves on from here, we don't know.
It's big in Japan.
Massive. The J-League.
Is it live on TV?
In Japan it is. And you'll get some coverage throughout Asia for the J-League, and it's big in the Asian Champions League as well. Yeah,
just sheer numbers.
Well, there's so many people who watch it. You look at Chinese Super League, you've got 1.5 billion people who watch it. Indian Super League is growing as well. There's so many people who are watching it. So, and in the European game... How many, Duke?
A lot of people in India.
Cracking myself up.
He's out of micro sleep and he's on fire.
That's brilliant. He's back. He's awake. He's refreshed. In the European game, the English Premier League starts this coming weekend. Can't wait for that. It's all back and firing again. Manchester City, the defending champions, won the Charity Shield overnight, beating Chelsea 2-0.
How long till your Arsenal heart's broken again this year?
Oh, I'm going to say mid-September.
Okay.
And I'll get through to May, Scotty.
Nice.
So that'll be big. So, plenty in the vast planet again this week, boys and girls. Always so much to talk about, but looking forward to it all. It's just all happening. And I want to say a big gay day to a couple of listeners, Daniel Spink.
A big gay day.
Michael Stashow and Daniel Spink, a couple of our regular listeners as well. I was talking to them on Friday. They love listening to the show, so g'day from all of us to you,
nice.
Boys.
G'day, Stachow.
G'day, Stachow.
G'day.
You Polish wog, is what Benny would say. And Daniel Spink, one of the greats as well. So g'day, boys, and look forward to hearing you this week.
You're listening to the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast, thanks to The Butcher Shop, Kayleen.
All right. right, Duke, that little bit of news stabby music gives us a segment we've never done really before. We're actually giving you a proper platform here to have a bit of a spray.
And you know what? I've also said in many times that, you know, the pen's mightier than the sword, and I don't like to come out, but this is something that touches close to my heart.
Yep.
As you all know, I went through the judo system and I spent a lot of time in and out of the AIS. Mm. And when I first started there at the AIS, it was the benchmark, is the pinnacle. And you went in there and you saw all the athletes. You saw all the top of the top in every sport and every and I saw them, and that's where you want to be. And you say, look, you know, I'm training here and this at a high level. Near the end of my career when I was at the AIS, well, I tell you what. There were kids everywhere. There were swimming lessons.
I was going to say, I spent a fair bit of time at the AIS last year when I tore my Achilles.
Did you see any athletes?
Mate, I reckon I saw three who were in there getting treatment in the area I was in. Mm. But other than that, it was, and you're right, it was school groups. And that was it. There was always buses of school kids.
I'll tell you now. So Robert De Castella's come out.
How long were you there for, just to get an idea of the time?
Like 15 years. Yeah, so my judo career is 15 years. And I mean, I'll say, you know, 12, okay?
Yep.
So coming in and out from starting when I was very young and going in and out of camps.
So just a full decline over a decade.
I just saw it go from an athlete performance center to a money-making venture. But the whole thing is the place was set up for high-performance athletes. It was set up because we didn't get enough gold medals. We got no gold medals at the 76 Olympics, I think it was.
Montreal.
Yeah. Anyway, we look at payoffs for that.
Wasn't it? Yeah, it was
76.
Or was that Munich?
Nah, it was Munich Montreal. Was 72.
It was 72. No, but it was
Los Angeles was 84.
But it was Montreal. It was Montreal in 76. We got no gold medals. So they came back and said, what are we going to do? We're going to set up the AIS.
Yep.
Now, what's basically, Robert De Castella's come out and said AIS is dead, and I completely agree with him. Look, you go in there. I'll tell you one story from my experiences near the end when I was 2016. I was told I couldn't have lunch, and I was getting ready for an Olympic qualifying event. I was told I couldn't have lunch at this time because the New Zealand hockey team were coming in and they were having lunch. Okay, this is the Australian Institute of Sport. Mm. I don't care if they've paid. You know what I mean? This is supposed to be churning out athletes and looking at our best interests. I mean, you guys
that
are completely. I
said
the lunch lady there completely lost sight. I'm going, what do you mean? She goes, you got to come back at 2. I said, hold on, I'm cutting weight. So
why would it matter anyway?
That's what I'm. Oh, everything matters. Like it's just broken down to so much bureaucracy right now.
Yeah, right. Like,
and so I'm just that was just one example of just so many times when you go into a place like the AIS and you expect to be treated like a high performance athlete, and yet you're treated like a customer.
Yeah,
and you go, it's just, from my perspective, say it's not about making money. It's taxpayers' dollars to try and churn out gold medalists. I don't understand why they say we're trying to justify our existence. What's it got to do with producing gold medalists?
Nothing at all.
Like,
mate, that's
having
horrible.
The school, mate, you got, I'm trying to get food in the school, like school kids pushing through, they've got, you know, different groups. It's the complete.
I had no idea.
It's completely lost sight. Robert De Castella has actually come out and said AIS is dead, and I completely agree with him. Mm. He retweeted my comment on Twitter, so we're now close friends, I imagine. So me and Uncle Rob.
Me and Bob.
Me and Bobby De Castella. But what annoys me even more is the AIS have come out and said, well, no, AIS isn't dead, and Robert De Castella's idea of what a sporting institute is, he's wrong.
Yeah.
Well, not necessarily. I've trained all over the world, and I'm telling you now that whether it is or isn't dead isn't the question. You have to set these places up to churn out athletes. Give us the opportunity. And I mean, if you're going to set it up at a state level, we'll have state institutes that are better funded than they are. If you want results at the results at the next Olympics, you have to put it in. And don't try and justify the AIS. It's just public servants trying to justify their own existence.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just a vicious cycle, and the victims are the athletes.
Yeah.
And I mean, look, you wonder why our results have been on the decline over the last, you know, 12 years in sport. Well, we've completely lost sight on how to churn out some athletes.
So obviously they're just moving out of there because they can get better training at home.
But that's what's happening. That's what happens. Yeah. People don't want to live in the
dorms.
It's not
stuff?
Very nice in there either.
Isn't it?
No. It's like they've got new ones now, but the old ones, they're horrible. It's like, honestly, the
army barracks.
The sink and the bed and everything, it's all made out of one piece. There's only you just got to share toilets with a whole block. Yeah. It's like, bit like Yeah, a bit like jail. And
a bit like Japanese jail.
And you know, and the food, when I first got there, the food was awesome. Now you go in there.
Not so much.
If you're allowed to eat.
Oh, yeah, well, that's right. If I'm allowed to eat on time. But the tuna you get for lunch, it's in the tuna mornay for dinner, and then the tuna mornay is in the next thing for lunch. You know, you can see, yeah, they're cutting corners. Mate, all I'm saying is, you know, there has to be some kind of review, and it can't be just, oh, and we, you know.
For a country like us that prides itself on its sport, like, you know, the old saying is, your country invented a sport, you teach an Australian how to play it, give us 20 years and we'll beat you at it.
That used to be the mentality.
That used to be the way it was. And a good mate of mine, Brad Hiskins, who owns Clinic 88, soft tissue injury specialist at a few Olympic campaigns and Commonwealth campaigns, he knows his way around. And Brad basically said the same thing on Thursday, mate, from his Facebook. He said, the AIS has been scratching its head for the last 8 to 10 years, knowing its demise was inevitable. The new model wasn't working. The sports had left. The residence was empty. Staff were leaving. Those left confused to their purpose.
He's pretty much summarised exactly what I've said, you know, just then. And look, I got a lot when I said what I said on Facebook, which is pretty much the same thing.
Yeah.
I got a lot of athletes reach out and, you know, completely agree with what I'm saying.
Yeah.
This isn't something that I'm not off topic saying it. I'm not coming out and being controversial. This is what's happening.
Yeah.
And I mean, it's just a sad, sorry state of affairs if our National Sports Centre is not churning out.
It's just a tourist attraction.
Yeah. It is. It's a tourist attraction, and it's a venue that people can hire, and there's swimming lessons and there's school holiday programs.
Yeah.
Well, that's not a high performance facility.
I had no idea. It was like.
I'll take you for a walk around there, and I'll find an athlete.
Because when I was in there getting the Achilles sorted out, like, there were a lot of athletes in there still receiving treatment. So there's obviously some athletes there, and there's still professors there that look after people and all that stuff. But that area we were in was massive, and they're probably using half a dozen beds in it.
The Australian Institute of Sport. Yeah, there's a few people getting rehab.
Half a dozen beds.
I think there's only one full-time. I think only gymnastics is left.
Yeah, right.
And I think they're moving out too. Yep. So they're going to a state model, which is fine. We'll shut the AIS down.
Yeah.
Shut it down. Have your little tourist hub, but shut down the rest.
Yeah.
Because I tell you now, we'll commercialise it because it's broken and it needs fixing.
That's crazy. I remember because I trained with the 2012 Australian boxing team there, and they were sort of in the middle of building the combat centre or something back then. So we trained in like a shed out in the back. And now come to think of it, I didn't really see that many. I was sparring with these guys every other day for about 2 weeks.
You won't see many.
I saw a few just wandering around, but it was not busy by any stretch of the imagination.
They went through that big rebrand a couple of years ago too.
Yeah.
Out there. But I mean, my missus did all that signage. So someone at least did out of the nation's capital.
That's what annoys me. They rebranded with the gold standard. And they had the five pillars to success. And that's all talk. It's all fluff. It's all, you know what? If you want to do that,
believe in it.
And you know what? Link up your ASADA, because I tell you now, you've got ASADA telling me I can't take certain types of protein, and then you've got AIS saying we've got a gold standard, we want to win gold medals. I go, don't tell me what I can't take. Tell me what I can take. Tell me, you know, assist me like all the other countries are assisting their athletes to work with us. Don't work against us.
It's the complete opposite in Russia, because in Russia you get like we both have masters.
You talk about assistance.
You take this or you go to Siberia.
Oh, yeah. Russia.
No, but it's not even that. Like, you go over there. If we had achieved everything we've achieved, we'd have masters in sport. The government would be funding us just to train.
Exactly right.
It's completely
you'd be on a wage.
Mentality.
They don't just churn you out and spit you out. Once you achieve something in those sports, you're on a
You're held in a high regard by the government.
Yeah, you're held in a high regard by the government. Maybe we should just piss off to Russia. That sounds lovely over there.
He's loving it, huh?
Yeah.
Anyway. That also means that what they're doing is respecting your ability to go and coach the next generation, though, to
exactly
actually pass
right.
on
Correct.
Your knowledge, to actually pass
no
on
money in coaching
all the information
amateur
you
sports at all. So, I mean, there's no incentive. And, I mean, the system's broken. And I say that there has to be more. Like, there was a lot of investment in Australian sport. But they're just not putting into the right ways. They're not making the right decisions.
Yeah. Does Australia have to completely tank at an Olympic game for something
well,
to happen?
Haven't we? What was the last one?
I reckon it has to be something.
It wasn't great. We haven't been great for a while.
Right, so we've got farmers killing themselves and shooting their cattle and they get $6,000. Do you honestly think that sport is going to get looked after
well,
by
sports,
the government?
Well, sports, you know, if you want to raise patriotism, sports your way to do it.
Oh, 100%.
And I mean, it's just going to take, I don't know. It's
how many people turned Irish when Conor McGregor started kicking ass?
Me.
I'm 3% Irish.
All my mates.
I'm Payos, 25th generation Macedonia. I got a bit of Irish in me, man.
Anyway, I do feel better getting that off my chest.
Nice
work,
man.
Getting off your 140 bench.
Yeah, my big chest right now. But yeah, and you know what? While we're at it, you shouldn't have fined me for riding on that car at the front of the AIS. I got fined $2,000. It was just a bit of oil. It was a bit of fun.
Now you know the truth comes out.
And you signified the two men. And there's been some times when I've been fined and I'm not happy about it either. But you know
what? That's bureaucracy.
You know what? This is what happens. Careful what you wish for. Now I've got a bloody... I'm using my pen as mightier than the sword. The microphone is mightier than the pen.
Podcast is mightier than the sword.
And you know what? You can quote me on anything I've just said.
And I'll retweet it. And go De Castella.
Vote one.
Need advice? You've come to the wrong place. It's listener question time.
All right, boys, I got you to hold fire during talking Biffarama takedowns or whatever the hell it was at the start of the show, because our listener question came in from Boris and it says, lads, it's official. Connor and Khabib, who wins and why?
I'm going to put it out there. And
do
I'm going to
say Boris?
I'm going to say no, but I'm just going to guess that he's a Khabib fan just on his name.
Well, he's left it open.
Mate, I'm done doubting Connor. I don't care who he's fighting. I've doubted him so many times, and he's come through with shining colours. The biggest thing we've got to remember with Khabib, yeah, he's 26-0, but he's never been under the spotlight and under the pressure that he's going to be under for this. Connor's been there and risen to the occasion more than once and performed. Like, he's so cool under
pressure. It's not even occasional pressure. It is the media pressure, speculation.
Every fight the world is watching, and he has ice in his veins, man. You got to remember, Khabib's coming off a fight with Ally Quinta. Unless you're a hardcore fan, you don't know that Ally Quinta is a full-time real estate agent.
He's a gamey sort of fighter. But
he's a real estate agent.
But he's not Eddie Alvarez, or he's not Jose Aldo.
And, you look at there's a narrative that Connor's been bought through. My hands are going.
Yeah, look at you
going. I'm excited. There's a narrative that Connor got baby, got spoon-fed and bought through slowly. Oh, if you look at everyone that he fought and what they went on to do, that was a murderer's row of fighters. Dustin Poirier, Max Holloway. The only dud was his first fight in Marcus Brimage. He didn't go on to do nothing. But everyone he fought after that ended up being an absolute killer.
Yeah. So in a way, they said, oh, no, he's no good. He's fighting someone no good. They were all killers. They were all unreal. And he look, even Max Holloway, he did his knee and still cruised through for a unanimous decision easily. Yeah. We don't know how good he is. You know?
I mean, that first fight with Diaz, he stepped up, two weight classes, wasn't it? And he gassed.
Yeah. Took him on a week's notice as well.
Took him
no
a
game
bit
plan.
And Diaz is tough as shit, man.
And then
he's
came back
awesome
in that
chin.
Second fight, did well. I mean, the Mayweather thing was the Mayweather thing. Nothing to do with MMA.
But
that's
why he's
a
warrior. And that's why people love him, because he fights out of his weight class. Oh, okay, this is the only guy I can fight. He's 170, usually 155, but he's a big 155.
And I tell you, there's one more reason that, even though Khabib's a grappler, there's one reason I'm going for Conor McGregor, because I think if he wins, they're setting up a super fight with GSP for the lightweight title.
If he can do that.
So GSP will be going for his
third
division.
That's why GSP's waited since his last win.
Yeah, GSP said, I'm only going to take fights that excite me. I don't need the money. It's got to be something
exciting. What's more
exciting
than Conor McGregor for a third division?
GSP is the only one ever to do that.
He's the only one to ever do that. And it's Conor McGregor.
Welterweight, middleweight, and Conor, the biggest star.
Is that not the biggest fight you could ever do in the UFC?
That's like the biggest star of the last generation versus the biggest star.
And GSP's not done.
No, and he looked really good.
And he'll look even better when he's sharp and small at lightweight.
Yeah, and again, contrast the styles, man. GSP,
he's a bad
super athlete wrestler. Connor.
He's a bad matchup.
You're getting ahead of yourself, boys. You're getting ahead of yourself. So, Ben, you're saying Connor Duke. Are you saying Khabib?
No,
I reckon Connor's going to flatline him in two rounds, because Khabib looked very human on his feet against Ally Quinta.
My heart's saying Connor as well. My brain's saying Khabib, but my heart's saying Connor.
Yeah, go on.
I'll never bet against Connor.
Let's explore that. We've talked a lot about Connor. So, we know that Khabib is a fantastic wrestler. He's never been beaten. If it does get on the ground, one of you said it last week, then he'll just smother him for five rounds and win.
There's a good chance that could happen.
Does Khabib borderify the fight? Does he just go, I'm going to win? There's three ways
Khabib can win this fight, and there's only one way Connor can win. Khabib can either win it by decision, or he can win it by ground and pound, or he can win it by submission. Connor can win it by knockout.
Yeah, Khabib has said he wants to punish him. I don't know if that means, like, he's a grinder anyway. He punishes everyone.
But there's more options for Khabib.
Yeah, but the thing is with Connor, I reckon, man, I cannot look him past Connor, but if Connor, I say this all the time, but if, look at my hands. What's going on?
It's a podcast.
It's an emotional podcast today, boys.
if Khabib makes a mistake, he's asleep.
Yeah.
If Connor makes a mistake, he's going to lose the round. Khabib's probably going to finish on top. You know, that's the stakes at play.
And you're just saying, like, we've been sitting here for
Khabib's
months.
And Khabib's stand-up defense is his biggest weakness, which is Conor's biggest strength.
We've been saying here for months, what's Conor doing? Look, he's running around, he's parties. He's been thinking about this for a long time.
They've known
and
about this.
You know that he's got a game plan going into this because he's going to try and destroy him mentally
coach,
as well.
John Kavanaugh, he's a mastermind.
So. And, mate, I know people are going to get pissed off when I say this, but Conor's already in the mix for, like, one of the GOATs in combat sports of all time. People like get upset when you talk about Ali and stuff, but Ali is what he achieved was absolutely phenomenal, no shit. But Ali's more renowned for what he did outside of the ring, sitting out for 3 years as a protest against Vietnam in his prime, his biggest money making years,
sorts of things
the civil rights movement, all of the above. You know, the pioneer of trash talk, all of that. He's a legend. But if Conor can dominate against Khabib, man, he's in the talk forever. He's probably already in the talk now, but he's in the talk forever. Let alone if he wins that and he goes on to beat GSP. He's the best guy to ever put on a pair of gloves.
In any sport.
In any combat sport.
He's the best. One of the most influential, regardless. You know?
Yeah.
So especially the new era, he goes number one. That's a piece.
Especially the social media era. He's the first one to really get behind. Every post he does on social media where there's product placement, he gets like 150 grand.
Yeah.
With his product placement. That's what
I read
the other
day. That's called being an influencer, Ben.
And, yeah, absolutely. Mm. And I'm not... That's
we love him.
Yeah.
He's a friend of the podcast.
All right, Boris. Sorry, Boris. Khabib's going down.
What do you get when you cross a former radio host, two Biff merchants, and the human version of Viagra? You get this. The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast with Scotty, Ben, Steve and Duke.
Well, episode 15 or episode 62, whatever way you want to look at it, is coming to a close. Thanks to the Butcher Shop in Kaleen, the Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast. I've had an absolute ball this week, boys.
Me too.
What a day.
I'm going to put it out there now next, because we're going to record next Tuesday because I still won't be back next Monday. I'm going to look like Payos did last week and Duke did 2 weeks ago because I'm going to be up for 3 nights straight shooting pigs and kangaroos and stuff.
I like it.
It's going to be
just don't come back with a sore back like Payos did. Payos put his back out somehow.
Yeah, it's no good. I was carrying Mr. Long.
Yeah.
He was playing with Mr. Long.
Oh, mate. How good were those snaps? Fair. That was snap of the week awards, those ones. Anyway.
Now, we're going to give the AIS our uppercut, slap, but, whatever it is. But Payos, you brought something to the table as well.
Yeah, you go. No, I'll go last, mate.
I'm good. I was going to say to you, what's it called? Is it waxing poetic?
Waxing lyrical.
Waxing lyrical. That's the thing. I said Duke just waxed lyrical. Now it's time for Payos to wax lyrical. But I f***ed up. Go ahead.
And you backed up the segment.
Waxing poetry. I've got a great waxing poetry story to finish this podcast.
He's waxing lyrical.
So I'm about to uppercut a bowler in cricket. Now, listen to this one. This is an absolute beauty. You've got two teams in cricket. So I'll tell the story. This is the Surrey League, okay? It's Minehead up against Purnell in the Surrey League. So it's county cricket. Not quite county, but just a little bit under.
Yep.
Decent level. Okay, so Minehead have come in and scored 280 in their first innings. On the chase, the team, so chasing down one-day cricket. The other team's about to get it. You've got the batsman from Minehead who is Jay Darrell, okay? So he's on about 98. There's two runs to win. He's well on his way to getting his century and winning the game for his team. Doesn't matter what level you're playing fifth grade Queen, you didn't do that. You're going to have a good night, okay? It's a little achievement. Sure. What happens? The bowler runs in and bowls a 4 metre wide straight to the boundary, ends the game with four wides, and then laughs off and gives the bloke two figures and walks off.
I love that.
So they won, but he didn't get his 100.
Yeah, so they won the game, but old mate finished on 98 not out because the other bloke hasn't given him a chance. It's just run in and bowled a wide straight to the boundary. Of course it is. It's just poor sportsmanship. It's like putting your finger in someone's bum in a UFC ring or something.
Win's winning, man. Go on the full hopper wate.
Is he getting a high five?
Well, Kara's loving it, eh? We're in for an uppercut.
I love how upset Payos was about it. I've got this great story to tell at the end. I'm going to give this guy an olive outrage.
Did he muck up Australian sport for the rest of our generation? No.
He's not Steve Smith.
Trevor Chappell.
Yeah, Trevor Chappell. Anyway.
All right.
High five to
high
that
five
bloke.
Him and uppercut. And that's final.
All right. High five for that guy. 1, 2, 3. There we go. That was fantastic. And now whatever...
Sorry, Jay Darrell.
And the AIS Duke after your rant earlier.
Rip it off,
man. Rip it off.
All right,
come
let's
here.
Give it to him. Oh, that is a cracker.
Stop it.
And you owe me $2,000.
It's all technique.
By me, I mean
Duke. Don't get me started with that again. I'll tell you some stuff.
He's going to wax lyrical.
How much should you have been fined when you were there?
Yeah, no comment.
Was it like $5,000 worth of damage to the car?
No, that's all. That's the thing.
All right.
Oh, don't. We'll talk about this. This is for another podcast.
All right, folks. As we said, make sure you share it around on Facebook if you like the podcast. Let people know about it. The more people that hear about it, the better it is. We get it out there, and more people
got that
stashy,
got that spinky. Get it out there, boys.
That's what it's all about.
What'd you just say?
The two dudes spinky, you spoke
the blokes
to.
Are gay. Remember the ones I can't wait to hear from.
You want to have a gay day with them?
Yeah, that's right. Gay day to the boys.
I can't wait to hear you guys.
Hear them next week on the podcast. They're coming on, are they?
Next week I'll be the tightest man in Australia, so I'll say
Daniel Spinky's quickly. He's one of the great blokes. We're at this thing.
We love Spinky.
I'm
going to
get Spinky. Spinky, you write in with a listener question. This is why. Bill Harrigan is on this thing last week, right? Bill Harrigan's at the top.
We should have filmed this episode with arms on
him. Wacky flailing man everywhere. We were out there. Bill Harrigan's doing his thing. Everyone's asking him all these serious questions. 89 grand final, this and this. Daniel Spinky puts his hand up and goes, they come around. Yeah, question for Bill. He goes, did you have a favourite whistle that you like blowing, Bill?
Oh, that's just petulant.
Just talk about break the ice with a ripper. He goes, there's a favourite whistle you like blowing games with. And Bill's gone, yeah, actually, mate, it was the Acme something, blah, 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 blah. And he's gone on, it's just fair income. It's just brilliant. Absolutely brilliant.
Good on your pinky.
Did you have to be there?
Spinky.
Spinky.
Good on your pinky.
Can't wait to hear ya.
I don't know what happened in the last 60 seconds, so I'll try and say again what I was saying before. Get a big black dog up, yeah?
Can't wait to hear you, Spinky.
Don't miss me too much, Spinky.
I don't bother anymore, Spinky.
Well, that's a wrap. And let me guess what happened in this episode. Duke and Ben argued over who was Canberra's favourite fighting son. Steve pronounced some ethnic sports folks' surnames correctly. And Scotty said something about the Newcastle Knights and tried to impress Edwards with a top five. Am I right? Yeah, thought so. The Give Yourself an Uppercut podcast couldn't be made possible without our wonderful, long-standing sponsor, The Butcher Shop Kayleen. Wrap your gob around one of their sausages. You'll love it. Till next time.